Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5.
It's Thursday night in Laguna Beach, and that means it's time for another episode of Why Not Radio here at KX93.5. I am your host, Josh T. Landau, and thanks for joining me for the program. Kicking it off with new music from Bat for Lashes. The big release of the week out tomorrow is her new album, The Bride, the fourth album from Natasha Khan under the Bat for Lashes moniker. She's done other things here and there, but the first Bat for Lashes record in a while, since The Haunted Man in 2012. The Bride follows the story of a bride whose husband-to-be is killed in a car crash on the way to the wedding. So it's not really surprising that the album is pretty slow and depressing. The single that you've probably heard, Sunday Love, seems like a departure from the rest of the album. I haven't had a chance to listen to the whole thing because I just got it before doing the show, and I only got to scan through it. But yeah, it's very contemplative, we'll say. That one was called In God's House. Coming up on the show today, as I promised, we have a live session with the Australian band Cubsport. That'll be coming up in a little bit, but I want to play you a few tunes from albums that I've been listening to a lot this last week, and none of these are really contemplative. These are all pretty fun, upbeat rockers. We're going to start with the band Spring King out of the UK, who after a few buzzy singles last year, just released their debut full-length, Tell Me If You Like To. I believe I've played Rectifier on the show before, a few weeks ago, before the album came out. Another favorite song on the album is this one called Detroit. It's Spring King here on Why Not Radio.
Yeah, Jack.
I'm Lacus.
I'm Eric.
I'm Matthew. We're Drowners, and you're listening to Why Not Radio.
Remember that band from New York, but fronted by a Brit, Drowners, from their self-titled debut a few years ago, with songs like Love Hold Me Down and A Button on Your Blouse. They're back with a sophomore release called On Desire, which pretty much picks up right where the other one left off. And that song is called Troublemaker from Drowners. Before that, the UK duo, but not really duo because they have a band, Big Deal, with their third album having been just released called Say Yes, and that song from it was Vitriol. You're listening to Why Not Radio on KX93.5, and just a few weeks ago, we got to record a live session with the Australian band Cubsport. My friend and colleague and expert in all things Australian music, Shayna, interviewed the band, and we'll throw it to her right now on KX93.5.
Hello, Why Not Radio. It's Shayna here, and I'm so very happy to be here with Cubsport. Hello.
Hello. Hey.
How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good.
Doing
How
well?
Are you?
I'm well as well. If you would for me, we're going to start over here, and I'm going to give away your name already. Sam, if we'll start with you and then go down the line here, and tell us your name and what you do in the band.
So I'm Sam. I play keys, bass, and sing.
I'm Tim. I play keys and a bit of guitar and sing.
I'm Zoe. I play guitar and sing.
I'm Dan, and I play drums.
Wonderful. Well, we are so happy to have you back here. Now that you have a new album out, which we'll talk about in a little bit, it's a bit of a different sound. You did go in a little bit of a different direction, not like a, you know, a full veer off, but you really went into that pop sound. It's called This Is Our Vice. And if whoever would like to speak to it first, what was the idea behind this album? How is it different from stuff you've done in the past?
I think these songs are a bit more meaningful than our EPs that we put out, and yeah, I think that we all wanted to kind of make the sound a bit more mature, and yeah, not in like a boring way, but just a bit less happy clappy like some of our earlier music was. And yeah, I think that was kind of the general reason, I guess, that it ended up sounding different. Yeah.
But yeah, well, let's hear what it sounds like. We're going to hear a live track from you here first. And I think, ironically, we're starting with the album closer. But that's okay. It's always good that you can switch around the order. And I think it works just as well. There's a lot of nice falsetto in this one, I would say. It's a nice showcase of that. But does anyone want to talk about Stay in particular?
Stay was one of the first songs I think I wrote that ended up on the album. And yeah, I don't know, it nearly didn't make it on. And then now it's one of our favorites and we play it like in every set. So I don't know, it was an underdog for the album and it made it through and now we love it.
Well, wonderful. Let's hear it. This is Cubsport here. We're live at Spice House Sound on Why Not Radio. This is Stay. Wonderful. That was Cubsport live here at Spice House Sound. Thanks again, Spice House Sound, for helping us out with the session today. And Bob Sweeney as well for doing the video. That song is great, like I said. And I think that has a nice hook in it as well. It's part of, I think, Cubsport as a sound. So you have so many good hooks in your songwriting. But let's talk about writing the songs in particular. Was the writing process different? If the sound came out different, how did they begin for this album?
I started writing songs as I was recording them, just like really rough demos at home in my bedroom. And I think that, kind of having that setting where I could experiment a bit more and try some different things, I felt more comfortable, I guess, trying stuff that we hadn't really done before. And then I think, yeah, those demos that were pretty much all like MIDI sounds and that sort of thing, bringing the band into that and making live arrangements of them and putting real instruments in. Yeah, I guess that's how how the writing process worked for this and how it ended up sounding a bit different to before. Because we used to just work on it. I guess I'd write the songs at a piano and then we'd arrange the whole thing in one go in a live setting. And yeah, so I think that this new, I guess the new approach to songwriting and arranging and everything meant that there was a bit more light and shade in the songs. And yeah, I think the other ones were like high energy pretty much the whole way. So yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. And how does that come about playing these songs live? So you have so many more parts and things. I hear laughter on many microphones.
It means a lot of work.
Yeah. Especially for you, I suppose, as you're kind of doing sort of two at once.
Yeah, so I play all the bass lines with one hand. And then all of my normal parts with my other hand and then sing as well. Took a little bit to get used to.
Yeah. And did you have to, I mean, you've got a lot of layers and stuff on these songs as well. Did it take a little bit to sort of figure out how they all work together in a live setting?
I think there was like a bit of experimenting even with like what Tim would play in certain songs, whether he'd pick up a guitar and play a guitar part or whether he'd play something on the keys. And there's a lot of like in Sam's sound, there's a lot of like different layers of things that were recorded in separately, and then Sam sort of picking up multiple layers. And even with the guitars, there's like, I think Zoe went from having like 3 pedals to like 12 pedals, you know, to just to get the plethora, like there's so many sounds that are on the record in guitar. Like, you know, there's parts where it sounds like a synth, there's parts where it's really clean. So yeah, it took a bit of time to figure out how to play the songs live, I think.
Some of them came together really easily. Others, there's one we're about to play in a minute that we only tried for the first time in like last week, this week, I can't remember. And I don't know, that one just came together really easily. So it's different for every song, I guess.
Yeah, but it seems, in hearing songs, like it seems like you've figured it out. Like it does work well and it comes across, maybe not this exact same way, of course, that it would on the album, but it's the whole idea is there, which sometimes I think when you're playing it live, sometimes if you don't figure that part out, you lose part of the idea of the song, which is important to like the song's identity. I did want to talk about as well. And I think the important part of this too, is I hear a lot of, I think you guys, if I'm correct, you like a lot of hip hop music or sort of R&B. And I think in your older material, that really wasn't as prevalent. And now, because the first time I saw you was actually, I walked in at Big Sound in 2012 on your Beyonce medley, which is a classic, of course. So I always thought it was interesting that, like, obviously your fans, if you choose to do a melody, you have to be a medley, you have to be a fan of some sort, of course. Mm. But I also saw a video, I think, of you guys and Dorsal Fins on someone's tour diary, just like singing karaoke in the Queen Street Mall. And there's so many hip hop songs. And I always was wondering if that was going to show through in your music. And I think it really did on this album. Is that part of this album as well? Might sound a bit different.
Yeah, for sure. I think there are certain songs like It Kills Me and some of the backing vocals in Only Friend where stay. Oh yeah, and Stay,
like backing vocals and stuff like that.
Yeah, but yeah, so it was an opportunity to experiment with melody and sing, I guess, in a slightly different way, bring a little bit of R&B to Cobb Sport Sound.
Yeah, but you would definitely say that you're fans of that sort of music.
Yeah, love hip-hop and R&B.
Well, we're going to get into your next song, which is I'm on Fire. And I do want to talk about this one specifically for a little bit. Where did this song come from? Because it sounds a little bit like literally being on fire. Is there any of that in it?
Yeah, there is actually. Yeah, it's a pretty hectic story behind the song. I started writing it, I think, in like 2010 or something, before Cobb Sport was even a band. And I wrote it about a friend of a friend who got broken up with and then set herself on fire on her ex's front lawn. And that's what it's about.
Oh, well, not too many songs are pop songs like usually get that literal. There's like the feeling, of course, of being on fire, but that's amazing. And I'm sorry for that person.
Yeah.
That was their reaction. I think yeah. The song is a lot better idea than actually setting yourself on fire.
Yeah. I kind of try not to think about it that much when we're playing it because it's pretty heavy. but yeah, that's what that one's about. And we kind of started playing that song because before we made Cobb Sport, we used to just play together. We'd play some shows just as Tim Nelson before we kind of figured out what we were doing. And that song was kind of kicking around then. And then we've tried a few different versions of it over the years. And then, yeah, when it came to record the album, we decided to have another go at it. And I think we got it to a place where it fits in nicely and we really like it now.
Yeah, I think so as well. Right. And you wouldn't know with the rest of the collection of songs that it didn't come out of the same writing process.
Oh, that's
like
good.
The same writing time. So you did a great job. And let's listen to it. We're going to listen to it live here. Second track here, live at Spice House Sound from Cub Sport. This is I'm on Fire on Why Not Radio. Another great one there, live here at Spice House Sound from Cub Sport. That was I'm on Fire. We just talked about it a bunch, of course, before that last song. And I did want to talk about something else that I really love from you guys. continuing all the way back from clips like Pool. I have loved every one of your clips, and actually my one friend Danny Camara did, I think, one of your other
clips. Yeah, he did Told You So.
Yes, way back when. Pool was quite fun as well, I have to admit. That's just a wonderful clip to watch. I don't know how the synchronized dancing was in actual doing it on the... Was that fun to do that clip?
It's hot.
Yeah, that was the Australian Commonwealth synchronized swimming team.
Oh, was it?
That was doing it with us, yeah. So it was cool to learn from them.
Yeah, and I mean, and it really, fit the clip well, as it would. But I want to talk about the one that you have two clips out for this album, and both of them are great. And I want you to tell me how to pronounce his name, Joe from The Creases. How do you pronounce his last name?
Aegis.
Aegis. Okay, I haven't known for the longest time because you never hear anyone pronounce names. You just see them written. But so he worked on one we'll talk about a little bit later. But I guess they all kind of worked on the other one as well, if I'm correct, for I Can't Save You, the one that was... the sort of, I guess it was kind of, it's like most of the Brisbane, a lot of the Brisbane music scene.
Yeah.
Doing the behind the scenes video. Tell us about that one.
So that one was pretty much all Joe. It was his concept, and he kind of just, yeah, he pulled it all together for us. It was, yeah, the first video that we've kind of gotten to take a back seat with. So it was a nice one for us, a bit more relaxing. And yeah, it's like a soap opera where, oh, it's on the set of a soap opera, and the main star is like having a meltdown and she can't be saved. And we're just crew on the set. So yeah, it's cool.
That's my favorite part, is it just like slow pans and you guys are like, it's okay, I'm over here. And just doing a that. So that's an amazing clip. But also, and we're going to hear this song in a little bit, Come On Mess Me Up. That was a really cool clip. I'm not sure how that's happening to your face. Tell us what's going on there.
So we shot it just in our living room. And yeah, I had blue paint and I was just putting it on me slowly throughout the song. And then that was used like a green screen. And then Joe like layered up that same take multiple times behind that. So it's kind of like a, I don't know, by the end of it, I start to look a bit messed up. Lots of eyes everywhere and that sort of thing.
Yeah, but I think it's great because if you did anything else in that video, it would like taken away from it and been too much. But like just the way he's layered it, I think it's perfect. And it, again, really matches the song. So
yeah, I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Good for them. And I did want to talk a little bit about the Brisbane music scene as well, because I know a lot of bands, especially now, are moving to Sydney or Melbourne, as you do. But why do you guys like making music in Brisbane specifically?
I think Brisbane's got lots of good people and it's a nice warm place to live. I don't know, we've all got flexible jobs and we're in Brisbane, so we can tour elsewhere, and we've got good dogs and things as well. So I guess they're the main things that are like holding us in Brisbane. Yeah, I don't know. There's also a really nice music community there, obviously, like Joe and The Creases, like they're good friends. And yeah, I don't know. It's just a nice, relaxed place.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the vibe that I got from it when I was there, but watching all my friends as years have passed since then migrate to different places. I think it's just interesting as a culture, because you have such a specific culture of three sort of cities of music. And of course there are others, but just like the main three on the East Coast each have their own sort of musical identity and what belongs there. And it's important, I think, to talk about for a small moment, since we're on radio, and this is pretty much like community radio here, lots of funding being cut in your music scenes, a lot of laws being made that are making it very hard to play music. Have you guys dealt with that at all as a band yourselves?
We've been fortunate enough to, like before, like they've talked about cutting and that sort of thing, we've been fortunate enough to receive funding to like to be able to come overseas and do those sorts of things, like to play at CMJ and The Great Escape. So yeah, I guess for us, it's been really important that funding from the government. And I think, yeah, if it is cut, there'll be some great acts that might miss out on some opportunities overseas and that sort of thing. And yeah, same for community radio. It's such a great stepping stone for new bands. And I don't know, I really like listening to our local community station, 4ZZZ. It's just, yeah, a good radio station.
Yeah, and I think even as you're here now, it's so important. It's something that's unique to your government as well. There's not too many governments that really fund music. And I've even seen, you know, myself, the effects that it has in bringing bands over. But I'm glad that you guys could make it here. We are going to talk about your last song here quickly before we go. But one more thing is, I love the full frontal emotions in this album as well. I'm glad that it took that direction. I think that that's a key point of the album, is it's really honest, especially in this track, which is called Come On, Mess Me Up. What do you have to say about this track in particular?
Yeah, I feel like this song was a bit of a breakthrough for me with songwriting and I guess writing more genuine lyrics. My initial inspiration before I wrote this song was Leonard Cohen. My dad lent me a book that he has of all Leonard Cohen lyrics, and I was just reading them and they're just so amazing. And like, people complimented me on the lyrics I was writing kind of because they were a bit funny. Like, I'd write a song about my dog and no one knew it was about a dog, or yeah, like that sort of thing. And that's nice, but I kind of wanted to go beyond that and not just kind of write funny lyrics, but something that actually meant something to me. And that, I guess, like, when it means something to you, you can deliver it with more meaning as well. So that was sort of the goal going into writing this song. So,
and I think it definitely shows. Before we go, I do want to ask you as well, where can we find you guys on the internet? Where can we get This Is Our Vice here if we're in America?
It's on all music outlets here, I'm pretty sure. So Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music. It's on Tidal as well, I think. And yeah, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. Snapchat's our favorite one.
Is that where we're going to get the most high quality content?
Yeah, seriously.
And the most quantity. Yeah. You'll probably get like 5 to 10 minutes a day of quantity.
Quality and quantity.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Well, perfect. We'll check you out on Snapchat and Facebook. We're going to check out This Is Our Vice, which is their album that is out now. And we're going to play one last song live here at Spice House Sound. Thanks again to Spice House for letting us use their space and helping us record the session. And thanks again to Cubsport. Thank you so much, guys, for coming today.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. We'll hear one last song here from them. This is Come On, Mess Me Up from Cubsport live on Why Not Radio.
We were walking on Spark Street, growing up real fast. Left it behind pretty quickly, still the farthest thing from pretty. I found comfort. I fell in love with avoiding problems. We were riding Smith Street, we were right on track. I left it behind without sinking. They all said I wasn't thinking. I found comfort. I fell in love with avoiding problems. But I come on, mess me up.
Hey, we're Cub Sport, and you're listening to Why Not Radio.
Minnesota singer-songwriter Haley Bonar, who has been releasing albums way back since the early 2000s. I had never heard of her, but I do like that tune from her upcoming umpteenth album, Impossible Dream, which will be out on August 5th. It's called Kismet Kill here at Why Not Radio on KX93.5. And before that, wrapped up our session with Cub Sport with the song Come On, Mess Me Up. And we actually took video of that session. If you want to see it, it's posted on Shayna's blog, which is swelltonemusic.com. So check out video of our session with Cub Sport there, swelltonemusic.com. We also heard I'm On Fire and Stay, all from Cub Sport's new album, their full-length debut, This Is Our Vice. Next, we're going to hear from a duo out of New York, who are produced and mentored by Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne. They're called Fever High. Their debut EP, All Work, will be out October 9th. And this is the single called Spit It Out on Why Not Radio, KX93.5.
Just can't see each other deep in
New music there from Scotland's Teenage Fan Club. They're going to be releasing their 11th album called Here on September 9th, and that's the lead single, I'm in Love, Teenage Fan Club on Why Not Radio at KX93.5. Before that was a British dance artist simply named Roosevelt with the song Colors from his forthcoming debut self-titled album out on August 19th. And that about does it for the show here tonight. I just have one more tune for you. Hope you enjoyed our Cub Sport session. Like I said, you can see the video for that at swelltonemusic.com. I'm going to leave you with a band called Preoccupations, who you might know as Viet Cong from Canada. Maybe about a year ago after they released their debut album, they announced that they were going to change their name as some folks found it offensive. So they changed their name to Preoccupations, and now they are releasing their second album on September 16th called Preoccupations. Not too many bands get to have two self-titled albums with different names. And this is the first single. It's called Anxiety from Preoccupations here on Why Not Radio at KX93.5. Have a happy and safe 4th of July weekend, everybody. And I will be back here next Thursday night. Talk to you then.
Guessing just about everything. Recollections of a nightmare, so cryptic and incomprehensible, encompassing.